Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Amen and amen. Tonight, dear child of God, I would like you to please open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter in the first verse. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Are you ready to break out of the cycle of the past and come into the promise that God has for you? Turn to your neighbor and say, tonight I'm severing any strongholds that held me back from God's best last year, and I'm coming into the anointing that God has for me in the new year. Put your hands up right now and say, I'm ready to receive the brand new year, the brand new anointing, the brand new prophecy, the brand new promise, the brand new anointing that God has for me. Come on, I'm ready to receive it. I'm not going to be hindered. The power of God, come on, start praising God and start speaking. I don't want you just to raise your hands. I want you to speak it forth, to make a declaration. Hallelujah. Say declaration, operation. Hallelujah. Declaration, operation, and revelation of faith. Come on. Declaration, operation, hallelujah, of faith tonight. Hallelujah. And revelation. We're giving God praise. We're moving into the miraculous. Say this with me. I'm getting ready to move into the miraculous tonight. Now, I want you to know something. Because as we're moving into the new thing God has for us by faith, because we have to sever the stronghold of the past. If you were with us this morning, then you remember what the word was this morning. It was taken, we shared this morning, from Joshua chapter 5, before Joshua took down Jericho. And God told Joshua, make sharp knives and circumcise this generation, because they had not been. And it said, God gave Joshua the commandment to sever the past. So you and I at this moment must move forward into the things of faith in order for us not to modify the miraculous. Do you know what it means to modify the miraculous? It means to go down a few levels rather than walking in the highest dimension of faith God has for us. Where we're going is the impossible. And the Rosh Hashanah word for us to go for next year is walk in the impossible. Come on, say, I'm getting ready to walk into the impossible, and I will not modify the miraculous. Say this with me. I'm not going to lack in faith by what I see, what I hear. My faith does not rely on what people say, what I hear, or what I see. I will not modify the miraculous and go down to another level. I'm going to walk in the impossible. Hallelujah. That is what God is saying to us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I want us to see it really quickly. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, if you don't mind, we're just going to, for a moment, share the word of the living God. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season. Oh, glory to God. And a time to every purpose under heaven. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I'm walking in purpose. So I'm under the heavens. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now I'm going to explain something just a little bit about the book of Ecclesiastes that some of us may not understand. It's so important for us to have context when we study the word of God. There are two dimensions of time that are revealed to us in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, who is the author of Ecclesiastes, teaches us this. Number one, the time that can be for your life, which is under the heaven, or the time that can be under the sun. Two different types of lives that we can live. We can live either under the guidance, as he speaks of, under the heavens, or we can live under the sun. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us that under the heaven is those who live under divine providence. It's a euphemistic phrase for under the plan of God. Are you hearing me? Those who are under the heaven and those who trust completely in the Lord are walking and living under the power of providence. Do you know what providence is? Ask your neighbor, do you know what providence is? Divine providence is one of the most important concepts that we must understand in the Hebrew language. Why? Because divine providence, this is the word ashkaha. Say it with me, ashkaha. And ashkaha means that I'm under the complete guidance of God. He guides every thought. He guides my steps. He guides those who I meet. He is the one who orchestrates and coordinates all the events in my life because I serve him and love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Under the sun is completely different. Under the sun is actually living under cycles that never stop. I don't know about you, but I want some things to change. I want to live under the heaven, because to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So when my life is guided under the heaven, I am guided into purpose. Are you hearing me? Tell your neighbor, say, there is a purpose. I love, hallelujah, to walk in the anointing and walk into my heavenly purpose. My purpose is when I live under the direct guidance of divine providence. That means God does everything. That means nothing's an accident. God allows it to happen. Even our tests and even our trials, unless we get out of God's will. Turn to your neighbor and say, the only thing that's going to cut me off from providence is getting out of the will of God. Oh, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get out of God's will for anything. I want to stay in God's will. Are you with me, saints? All right. Under the heaven, those who live completely contrasted under a completely different system. Those who are under the heaven. And that's why the Bible says to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. But let's look and see what Solomon means when those are under the sun. Notice, under the sun are those who live without God's guidance, those who live on their own without trusting God, those who live on their own, those who are under the cycle of creation. Do you understand what we're talking about? Let's look at this, because there's a contrasting between those who live under the heaven, under the divine guidance of God and everything, and those who are just in the world, and those who are just stuck in the system of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, I already found out about the world. The world is empty, and I don't plan on having any attachments to this world. Somebody ought to say, I'm coming out from the world and I'm living under the power of God's presence. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The scripture tells us here, as we look at, let's just look. The Bible says one generation, Ecclesiastes 1:4, one generation passes away and another generation comes. Say, that's a cycle. The sun also rises and the sun goes down. Say, that's a cycle. The wind goes toward the south and turns up toward the north and returns again. Tell your neighbor and say, that's a cycle. Oh my gosh. Say, these are cycles of creation. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. The Bible says, verse 7, all rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers came and return again. Say, that is a cycle. All things are full of labor that men cannot utter. Now watch this and look at verse 9 and the last line under verse 9. Last line under verse 9 says, there is no new thing under the sun. So that means when I'm not living under the power of God, I'm stuck in the cycle. I can't break out of it. That means day in and day out, my life is without purpose. Are you hearing me, saints? But when we walk with the Lord and our life is completely submitted to Him, we come under that guidance of divine providence. We come under what God has ordained for our lives. Our life is in His hands. So that means no matter what we go through, we do have confidence that the season will end, because under the cycle, nothing is new under the sun. But when we're walking with God, that there is a time to every purpose, and there is a season that God has ordained, a new season. Hallelujah. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. Watch how things break. Now, did you notice in chapter 1, he shows a cycle that never changes? Turn to your neighbor and say, I saw that cycle. It never changes. But now watch, he's going to tell us in Ecclesiastes 3 that the cycle does change, that life is not always the same. Sometimes there's a time to kill, and then there's a time to heal. The cycle stops, the thing breaks. Tell your neighbor, say, you're not going to be stuck in this storm forever, because God's got a purpose for you. Right now, know the season. There's a purpose behind the season. Say this with me, there's a purpose behind every season of your life. So it means that it's not going to stay this way forever. Hallelujah. And when you are guided by divine providence, God will bring purpose out of every season. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this. Watch what the Word of God is telling us. If we look, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Oh, we love things when we've planted them and see them grow. We plant a business. We make a career. We're so excited about what we did. We're so excited about what we accomplished. God let it grow. God let it be so wonderful. And then all of a sudden, God just allows it to fall apart. Are you hearing this? That means, beloved saints, we're not always going to stay in the same season. There are seasons, and every season produces purpose. Do you realize the comfort that we are receiving from the Word of God? That even in a season where it seems like, oh my goodness, a time to die? Turn to your neighbor and say, maybe not in the natural, but certainly in the flesh. Ask your neighbor, say, is this a time to die? Oh my goodness, a time to die to ourselves. A time to die to selfishness. A time to die to self-centeredness. A time to die to being seen of men. And a time to live for others. A time to bring the gospel to the entire world. A time of selflessness. Are you hearing me? A time for the church to grow up and arise and become that selfless bride that God has called us to be. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my. A time to weep and a time to laugh. So that means I'm not stuck in the cycle of the world that produces no profit under the sun. Everything in the sun is vanity and chasing of the wind. But when I walk with the Lord, when He is our strength, when He is our rock, when He is our salvation, when He is everything to us, Oh, hallelujah. Are you hearing this? When Jesus is everything that we live for and everything that we breathe, that means even when it's a time to weep, it's not a lost season, and we're not going to stay stuck there. Turn to your neighbor and say, today you may be weeping, but child, tomorrow you're going to laugh. Come on. Today you may be weeping, but tomorrow, because you serve Jesus, he's going to bring some laughter into your life. And it's not because something is just funny. It's not because something's just funny. It's because you're saying, how could God do this? This is impossible. How could God bring this to pass? I didn't do anything to make it happen. And how could God, in his power, do such an unthinkable thing? He used the impossible to happen. Someone comes up to you, you don't even know. Something happens out of the wind. You couldn't have put it together if you tried. Tell your neighbor, say, did you ever try to make a miracle happen on your own? Say, it doesn't work very well. Say, we're going to stop being God and let God be God. Let God bring it forth. Hallelujah. And so that means there's going to be, for everyone in this room that's been weeping right now, you might be weeping. Maybe something grievous happened to your child. Maybe something grievous happened on the job. Maybe you're just in a place, you're just wondering, God, what's going on? I don't understand all these things that are happening. Don't worry about it. Allow God to have his perfect work in you. Just weep in the arms of Jesus. That's the safest place to weep. Hello, somebody. Let him hold you up and comfort you, because you're going to be laughing real soon. How do we know? Because God's word has told us this is what is going to happen when we're under the power of providence in our life. Put your hands up and say, I'm trusting God for everything. I don't trust myself for anything. I can't make it happen, but I'm trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm trusting in God to make it happen. He's going to bring the people into my life. He's going to open the doors. He's going to lead me where he wants me to go. Are you hearing this, saints? All right. We're moving on. Oh, yes. The Bible tells us, beloved saints, under the heaven, the cycle stops. It dramatically changes. The season shifts. And this is what God is doing tonight. We're gathered here on Rosh Hashanah Eve. Because why? We believe that God is going to bring us into a supernatural season. If you have been with us during these times of Rosh Hashanah, you have understood yesterday's message was about the noun Shabbat and the verb Shabbat. They have two different meanings. The noun Shabbat refers to just a place. Just something that happens. We know exactly what Shabbat is. It means to desist. It means to cease. But there's a reason every biblical feast is in the segment of sevens. There's a reason why the biblical new year is 7-1. Because he wants us to Shabbat. And he wants to bring us, start the new year out in glory. If you don't mind. Hallelujah. I would like to just reveal that to you for a moment about beginning the new year in glory. Say this with me, beginning the new year in glory. Oh, hallelujah, under the heaven. Now, I want you to see beginning the new year in glory. There is a pattern that Moses gives us in the Word of God so we can understand it. And it's very powerful. It's a pattern that begins in creation, the creation story. Let's look at the pattern that's developed for us in the creation story. And that pattern, beloved saints, that we see, it is a, in the creation narrative, Moses uses a particular art, a very particular articulate pattern that defines distinction. Say this with me, a particular pattern that defines distinction. And he's articulating for us this distinct pattern that we find, and it is a pattern of distinction that is, I'm just looking for Kleenex, and here they are, okay. This distinct pattern that we see, dear people of God, that we find here is shown to us, it's a pattern of distinction that shows us time, how time is created. So we're going to see two different distinctions of time. First of all, let us look at the actual narrative and see what Moses is teaching us in the creation narrative. Going over to this pattern, the Bible goes on to say, if we see it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day. Then we look at Genesis 1, verse 8, and we see the pattern developing. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And if we look at verse 13, we see this pattern of defined distinction continuing and proliferating. It is saying the evening and the morning were the third day. Is there a pattern of divine order, yes or no? Is it very distinct? All right, Moses has set this for us, who is the author of the book of Genesis, this pattern of distinction in the order of creation. Say it with me, a pattern of distinction in the order of creation. Okay, he is showing us everything under divine order. Okay, everything is under divine order because the word of God is commanding everything into existence. And because it is commanded by the word, then it's in order. Touch your neighbor and say, if my life is commanded by the word, then my life will be in order. And it will be under the rule and the reign of heaven. Say it with me, if my life is being commanded by the word of God, then it will be under the rule and the reign of heaven in the order of heaven. Are you hearing this? There's an order that the Bible is showing us. God commanded it, and it became in divine order. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. Say, I see meticulous order. Because it began with the DNA of creation, which is the word of God. Are you hearing me? God spoke it and it happened. Oh, glory to God. Everything's coming under the rule. Do you realize? I think most people know this that come to Breath of the Spirit. But when God said, let the waters be divided from the waters on the second day of creation, that already was encoded in the waters. So that when Moses stood by the Red Sea, the Bible uses the explicit language from the creation story so we would know both are connected together. The Bible says, God said to Moses, stretch a rod out over the sea. And the Bible says, the waters were divided. That's the same language that's used in the creation story. So that means when God ordered the waters to be divided from the waters in the second day, the word of God was so powerful, it encoded in the waters what it's gonna do in the future. Because the word of God is eternal. It has no boundaries and it's echoing throughout eternity. Oh, glory to God. So all Moses did was he reactivated the word already spoken into it. On the creation story, when God said, let the waters be divided from the waters. Because the word of God is eternal. The word of God cannot change. The word of God governs everything. And when the word of God is spoken, and when we live our lives under the rule and the reign of God, We can love the word, but are we under the dominion of the word? Are we submitting ourselves to the kingdom of God? And so we see this incredible pattern that is set up in the creation story, that is, everything's being ruled and everything's under the reign of God, and it comes under a divine order. And that order is revealed to us, that the evening and the morning and everything that God created is good. Hallelujah. But then we look at the seventh day. Turn to your neighbor and say, seventh day. If you look at the pattern of the seventh day, it does not say the evening and the morning. Let's look at this carefully. Go with me to the creation story, the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 2. And this is what it says. Thus were the heaven and the earth finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. And he rested on the seventh day and all from all his work that he had made. The Bible says, and God blessed the seventh and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work that he created and made. Do you see the evening and the morning were the seventh day? Do you see it there? Tell me, do you see it there? No, it's not there. You can look till you're blue in the face. You're not going to find it there. Do you know why? Because it's a timeless moment. It is because the Shabbat brings us into something that is not the timing, that is not of this world. It's the receptacle of awe. Say it with me, the receptacle of the glory of God and awe. Okay, we're just giving you the textual evidence here. It doesn't say it. It doesn't say the evening and the morning were the seventh day. Because it's a different order of time. That the Shabbat brings us into a different order of time. Are you hearing this? I'm not telling everybody to do the Shabbat. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here in terms of us understanding. Why is Rosh Hashanah 7-1? Okay, just for us Gentiles, so we can understand what God is doing here. All right, God is telling us we're starting the new year out in glory. We're starting the new year out in awe. We're starting the new year out in the presence of God. We're starting the new year out without our own strength, with God doing everything, because the Bible says you can carry no burden on the Sabbath. And that means I can't carry any burdens right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not talking about physical burdens. I'm talking about the burden of everything I've been carrying, the burden of all my trials, the burden of all my worries, the burden of all my past, the burden of my family, the burden of my children, the burden of everything. Tell your neighbor, say, I am not carrying a load on the Sabbath. Say, this is time for me and God. Say, I'm going to Shabbat in his presence. Oh, glory to God. Say, I'm going to bask in the glory of God. I'm going to let go of everything I've been carrying. I'm going to let it go tonight. I'm not going to carry the burden anymore. It's too heavy. Tell your neighbor, say, I wasn't created to carry this many burdens. I was created to be God's child and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, if you're carrying a burden, how can you enjoy the presence of God? You have to Shabbat in the presence of God. Are you hearing me? So we're just going to let it go. Oh, praise you, Jesus. This is the time not for us not to work. I don't mean you just become stuck in bed and just don't do anything. That's not what that means. It means we're going to let the Lord do it all. We're just going to stand back and see his glory, days of awe. Say it with me, days of glory. I'm going to conclude with this, okay? I'm going to conclude with Moses deliberately connecting the creation narrative with the tabernacle. And the glory when it filled the tabernacle. And how everything is finished. Watch this. We're looking at Genesis 2, and it says, On the seventh day, let's look at the verse one. It's so glorious. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Say this word, finished. That means complete. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God, this is actually the word finished again, but it says ended. God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested Shabbat. This is the verb Shabbat, not the noun. He rested on the seventh day and all from all his work that he had made. If you would turn with me very quickly to Exodus 40, we are going to see a supernatural similarity. Say this with me. When you see verses and phrases in one part of Scripture, and you see those same verses and phrases in another part of Scripture, the author did this deliberately. Say this with me. He's connecting the two together. Okay, this is when, okay, I don't want to get so complicated here, but I got to tell you. All of us use so many commentaries, don't we? We love commentaries. If they're accurate, reliable, and it's reliable source, and you're not just getting the Sunday school version, it's very nice to have a commentary. But to find a commentary that's not the Sunday school version is very difficult, because usually the commentary will just tell you what you just read, and that's it. That's what caused me many years ago to start studying Torah. I didn't know. I was so thirsty, so hungry, because every single commentary that I would read was basically just a repeat of what I read in the text. Okay, but there's something even greater than the greatest commentaries. Did you know the Bible can serve as its own commentary? I said the Bible can serve as its own commentary. This is actually the most profound new way of studying Scripture rabbinically that is now considered one of the most scholarly methods of studying Scripture by the most astute individuals that are teachers, whose names I will not quote now, who have laid out a whole series of how to study Scripture by what is called parshanut, and this is when the Bible becomes its own commentary. And you do that through seeing Scripture in one portion, and you see the same Scripture in another portion. And so here we see that Moses had a definite intention. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 40, Exodus chapter 40, looking at verse 33, last line. So Moses finished the work. Say it with me. Moses finished the work. And turn to your neighbor and say, where have we heard these words before? Didn't we just read God finished the work when we read the creation story? Okay, Moses has deliberately used this terminology because he's connecting the two. Because he's going to show us the real secret of Shabbat. All right? And if you notice, the next verse says in verse 34, as soon as the work was finished, then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Moses is telling us what happened on the first Shabbat. Everything was finished, but the glory of the Lord filled the whole entire earth. What you and I need to understand is Moses is also telling us why the world, why the earth was created. The earth was created to be a tabernacle for God's presence, that God's original intention is that the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Are you understanding? So the whole intention of creating was to bask in the glory of God and to be in that presence of God. Now I'm just going to share with you one more supernatural secret here, and that's in the word finished. Do you know the word finished in Hebrew is the word kala? But it's the exact same spelling in Hebrew as the bride. I said the finished bride. Somebody ought to say God's getting ready to finish the bride. Say, everything that the bride represents is being finished. God's finishing the finished work, the bride adorned that's going to be filled with the glory of God. The Bible says that John said, I, John, saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned, finished, prepared, ready, everything that God said in his word. And do you realize that the Bible says in chapter 21, the Bible says, and I saw the bride coming down out of heaven having the glory of God. This is a time we are going to see the glory of the Lord revealed in the earth as never before.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.